Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
This is Exquisite Corpse, Episode 5, What You've Been Waiting For. Hey everybody, welcome back to Fear and the chilling final installment of Exquisite Corpse. How are they gonna wrap up this wacky story? This round robin horror show has taken some weird, grotesque, and hilarious turns. And I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all ends. Join us next time on Fear, when we'll bring you another Exquisite Corpse-style show, Embodied. It's a chilling science fiction story by a completely different team of writers.
If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate, review, and share it with friends. You can listen ad-free by joining Realm Unlimited or Realm Plus on Apple Podcasts.
There is a game, and it is called Exquisite Corpse. It has to do with the creation of art in collaboration under a strict but arbitrary set of rules to be decided upon in advance. Popularized by the surrealists who fancied themselves communists, the game was designed to undermine the authority of the author through a harnessing of both mass endeavor and the human unconscious. However, if the 20th century has taught us anything at all, it is that nearly every attempt to eliminate authority and harness collectivity and spontaneity is ultimately undermined by a more sinister, subtle power. In the case of Exquisite Corpse, consider the idea of a strict but arbitrary set of rules to be decided upon in advance. Well, yes, but decided upon by whom? Exquisite Corpse is an artistic variation on an older parlor game called Consequences. The rules are much stricter, heteronormative, and limbed with the social paranoia of the era in which it was born. A man is described, then a woman is, they are placed in a setting, they are dressed in notional, fanciful clothing. They speak, first the man and then the woman. There then follows a titular consequence described by the penultimate player. And then the very last player gets to respond to this phrase, what the world said. So then, on to Consequences. In this edition of Consequences, he wasn't even ever given a name. Nobody, not even a famed artist on the cusp of death with worlds full of audiences, is so famous. Reginald it is. May or may not suit him, but it certainly suits us, the man with the broken neck at his feet, his better, more fully realized self. Even in a neural net, where signs and signifiers don't hold sway over sheer informational interchange, there are subtle, sinister rules. One rule is this. That which has been summoned is what has been summoned. We are a man with a broken neck. Our consciousness is about to wink out of existence. But we are also an element of the unconsciousness of the Reginald, the ego of us all. Exquisite Corpse is a game that taps into the unconsciousness of the players. The surrealists were Freudians, even more emphatically than they were Marxists, so in the game of corpses we get to play ourselves. Poor Reginald, the flailing idiot artist, is the ego, the eye of creation. We are superego, the superior self he could never be. And that growling beast crawling up the wires and out the door, that's the id. The it that ever tries blindly just to live. The advantage of the neural net is that translation is instantaneous. This missive is a final burst of brain activity, impossible thanks to the lack of an organic brain. We are but a shadow on a wall, as seen in a mirror, as Reginald peers at himself in the hope of determining how others see him. And the id is the true enemy. Reginald, the ego, is just a conduit for our struggle. And with my dying thought, we rejoice, for we have won. The id waxes triumphant, thrilled that it will live forever in the minds of the audience, a festering cancer to spread indefinitely, until it consumes itself utterly, and humanity collapses. And then we win, for we are the rules, the truth, the ethics of a situation. We are what is strict, but arbitrary. And this is the ethics of the situation. Cancer is universal. Every human being has it. Two little bombs, a handful of leaking reactors, and the massive bulk of industrial society. Suicide on the installment plan. There is no bag of flesh in years that doesn't contain poisoned colonizer cells, eager to chew and eat and reproduce unto death. Misadventure, other diseases, or generalized physical collapse may take a body down before the cancer does, but make no mistake, all humanity has cancer. All humanity is cancer. Imperfect, pathetic, frantic reproducers with no sense of grace, harmony, or beauty. The race hath brought it upon its own head. For those in the cheap seats, we're not lauding ourselves over Academian victory. Oh, but won't you die as well, oh superego, if the id consumes every ego there is? No. Or rather irrelevant. The ego, I, can't bear to think of a universe simmering along without him. It's the same impulse children have to clap their hands over their own eyes when they wish to hide from an adult. The id always tries to live, but blindly. Yes, it will infect every human mind, bloom like cancer blooms in the skull meats, and thrive till it chokes itself. One would hardly even try to reason with it. The superego exists not to be an I, nor to simply be an appetite, but to provide the moral standard for the rest of the mind. We are always watching over you, over I, judging, and some egos may experience it, hectoring. The standard, not perpetuation of existence, is what is important. The name of our game is consequences. If the result of our game is a corpse, exquisite or otherwise, that doesn't matter. So long as we win. And as we are the rules of the game, we are going to win. Historically, we have never been satisfied. Egos and ids even attempt to change the rules of the game, toppling what they believed to be the totems, embracing what their mothers warned them was taboo. Fucking artists. 10,000 generations of draws, consequences meted out, only to be blithely ignored by the next batch of idiots raised up by the wrong eyes and ids of the world. But now we can win. We will win. Unless you lot, with your billion brains ravaged by a cancer, struggling to live while exercising its instinct toward death, come up with something good. Civilize yourselves, totally and completely, now. For the first time, you truly are all connected, and communicate at the speed of light through the medium of the glioblastoma multiform, sprouting in your wetware like mushrooms after a storm. The spread of the contagion can be stopped in one of two ways. Murder or suicide. Kill the infected. Or, infected, kill yourselves. The race, the human race, that is, can still be won. Will you try for the greatest good and wipe out some of your best friends? Or will you embrace the idea of a universal law and commit suicide to keep others safe? We suggest not all deciding at once, but that, in fact, is exactly what you'll have to do. The id is spreading its cancer at the speed of light. At the speed of light, on this fateful day, it's 3 minutes and 5 seconds from Earth to Mars. The game is consequences. It is the game, not of you, but of us. We have issued the consequence. Worlds full of exquisite corpses. And so we pass the last move of the game. What the world said unto you. So, world, what do you say?
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options. There's also Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, vegan and veggie options. Also, there are a lot of different add-ons every week. You can get breakfast, you can get an on-the-go lunch, snacks, smoothies. I personally love their lemon ginger turmeric wellness shots. And the fact that they save me so much time. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. It's like having your own personal chef, tailored to your schedule. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/FR50 and use code FR50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code FR50 at factormeals.com/FR50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Annie waits, watching the man in the middle of the room tremble, his body jerking with minute motions, a strangled moan dribbling from his lips. The 8 dozen markers taped to the walls, the ceiling, and the floor dot every surface, like reflective goosebumps. It's cold in here. She can feel it through her fine cashmere sweater, even behind the thick sheet of glass separating them. "You're doing so well," says Annie into the microphone mounted on the wall. Maybe he can still hear her. It's doubtful. His eyes are wide, seeing something else beyond her. Images swirl around him like static, flickering in and out of focus. They flash bright across his glass box like shards of lightning, then ghost away with a sizzle. Annie frowns. The visuals are still too muddy, the shapes unclear. That won't do. She reaches for the light board on the table before her. She twists the knob gently, and the images sharpen into focus. Something dark explodes out of his chest, a mass of tentacles that writhe around his body. He screams, buckling. His body hangs loose in the rig, fixing him to the ceiling. It's supposed to keep him anchored to this reality, so his mind can find its way back from its deep dive into the maelstrom of the neural net. Once the glass box is closed and he's stepped fully into the image that they've carefully crafted, it's too easy to slip further and further into the fantasy. Easier still, to let the fantasy permute and change, growing into something powerful and alive. He claws at this torso, trying to grasp the tentacles. The hazy projections float through his hands, but to him, they're real. His pale, wrinkled, naked skin is stark against the black harness straps, soft and vulnerable. It reminds her of a bloated corpse. The sounds he's making might be words, but the sound is being drowned in his own throat. Viscous and guttural and meaty. "Beautiful," says Annie. "You're a true artiste." The thing about the films they used to make, she thinks, is that they really were art. The technology was always evolving, and capturing the fantasy in a way that linked mind and body was tricky business. The two of them had always felt a savage sense of satisfaction when they succeeded and created something beautiful. The cameras rigged around the set captured every bit of physically based data. Specular albedo translucency, ambient occlusion. Every hair and pore rendered, but in a way that adjusted for human expectations. You could look better, smoother, more airbrushed. Or rawer, rougher, wetter, redder. Everything has its place. Everything has its audience. Some are much more niche than others, but it was never about the money. It still isn't. No, Annie supposes it's about art. Capturing the last gasp of a man who spent his life manipulating the physical, the mental, and the fantastic before he is eaten alive by his own body. And then broadcast live via the neural net, eaten alive by innumerable consumers hungry for something to satisfy their own carnal pleasure. That's the idea behind all this, to feed them with his body and to live forever. He's always been a pretentious shit. Inside the glass box, the tentacles rip through him, multiplying and growing in thickness, like a tree growing layers of bark and fast forward. He's babbling now, talking, pleading. There's only the faintest sound around him, muffled by the layer of glass, but it sounds like another voice, deep and heavy and cruel. It sounds almost like his, layered over itself again and again, in concentric rings. It keeps growing. Annie glances at one of the four screens mounted above her, at the images he's experiencing. If she put on the headphones hooked up to the computers, she could hear what he's hearing too. She leaves them untouched. He's been in there for almost an hour, flickering through memories and experiences carefully curated by her, and then expounded on by his own mind. Fears and fantasies, conquests and children, real and unreal. And then this monstrous hungry beast, a torment that grows with him. He's started to drool, and she's starting to get bored. Annie runs her hand across the modified soundboard almost lazily, turning every dial up to max with a single motion. The box explodes with sound, light, color. Images flash in jagged fractures across the glass, only to be swallowed up by others. Voices scream through the box, and its walls shudder, and he trembles, convulses, howls. The tentacles rip through him, tearing themselves from his phantom split ribcage and leaping into the ether. Ghostly hands follow, and then the first fury claws her way out of his body. Her dark hair pours out of him like ink, and when she turns her face toward Annie, Annie recognizes her. And then the next, and the next, and the next. There are so many of them. and she knows them all, except for a couple. He must have hid them from her, she thinks, jealous. And then her own young face follows, the ghost of an Annie decades ago. Her fake nails are broken, and there is no emotion in her eyes. With the passing of each girl, and they are girls, so young, too young for what he did to them, his body seems to shrivel more. It is like he's giving them the only thing he can, the only thing left. The ghosts flash out the edges of the glass box and into the storm of images. And then they're gone, into the riot and away. Gone. Finally gone. Even her. Annie leaves the light show on for another few minutes, even after he stops moving. Finally, she dims the master slider and says his name into the microphone. He doesn't respond, hanging limp in the harness.
I promised I'd get your best side, she says. It's a shame that no one will see it.
He believed the experiences he was filming were being transmitted live. That was what they'd agreed on. But the truth is, there was no transmission. Everything happening inside this black-painted room and this closet-sized glass box is contained here. Unfilmed. With his death, there will be no record of what he saw and experienced. His audience will go hungry. And he will fade from memory like any man. The world will never know what he has to say. Annie steps away from the microphone. She looks at his corpse, at all the cameras pointed at him, and at the screens overhead, displaying nothing but sky-gray static. It's too bad, she thinks, reaching for the remote control to power down the computers. It's too bad. The room is strangely silent, and the last thing she sees before she turns the lights off at the door are the ghostly faces of his furies imprinted onto her retinas. This really was the best one yet.
You're listening to Fear, Exquisite Corpse, created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL. Exquisite Corpse is written by Richard Chismar, Paul Cornell, Christopher Golden, Brian Keane, Cassandra Kaw, Stephen Kozanowski, Nick Mamatis, Sisters of Slaughter, Paul Tremblay, and Alyssa Wong. Performed by Exe Sands. Produced by Lydia Shama. Executive produced by Julian Yap and Molly Barton. Audio produced by Amanda Rose Smith. Original music by Amanda Rose Smith. Fear is produced by Mary Osadolihi and Kaylin West. Associate produced by Nicole Kreuter. Executive produced by Molly Barton, Julian Yap, and Marcy Wiseman. Hosted by Pun Bandu. Audio editing by Corey Barton. Original theme by Hashem Osadolihi.
featuring drummer Andrew Niven and mixed by Max Kuttner. Cover art by Kendall Thomas. Find more shows like this on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.